No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. This is the word of the Lord. I did a little search to find out what the most important jobs in the world are. And of course, beside that, it also had the least important jobs. So it came from the internet, so I'm not stepping on your toes. It's nothing personal, right? If I mention your job. The most important jobs, according to one person who wrote something out there on the internet. Doctors and nurses, farmers, law enforcers, carpenters, teachers, and engineers. All important jobs. What would you do without them, right? How would we survive as a society without those kinds of jobs that people did? I added mothers to that because we would not have a society if we did not have them. Okay. So, important jobs. I went to find some of the least important jobs, seeing if maybe my job was on there or not. I don't know. But actually, they tended to lean more towards things like reality TV stars, tabloid journalists, and so on and so forth. However, if you were a tabloid journalist or a reality TV star, which I don't think we have any in our congregation, you may feel like that's an important thing to do. So, you know, it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? The title of my message this morning is Worthwhile Work. What is our worthwhile work? What is work is important for us to do? Okay. So, I want us to go and first of all look at chapter 19 of the story. And in the story, here's what's happened. You remember that Israel and Judah had been taken off into captivity. For 70 years, Judah was in captivity in Babylon. And then the Persian kings came along. In the early part of the Persian reign, King Cyrus of Persia encouraged the people to go back to their homes, and he encouraged their religious practices. He did this for all kinds of people, and specifically the Jews are mentioned here. And so Judah comes back home, and King Cyrus says, I want you to rebuild your temple, and I want you to worship your God, and I want you to pray for me to your God. And so he said, as many of you who wants to go back, you can go back. There were many living still in Babylon. So he sent as many back as wanted to with the purpose of going back and rebuilding the temple of God. They came back. They first of all built an altar and they offered some sacrifices. They were excited to be back home. Then they rebuilt the foundation. They built a new foundation actually for the temple. And when the temple foundation was done, people stood back and they said, yay, we're really getting this work done. And there were lots of cheers and there was excitement. Hooray! Hooray is what they did. But there were some other people in those cheers who were making other sounds. There was weeping. There was crying. There was sadness. These were the people who had seen the temple in its former glory, who had seen Solomon's temple with the gold and the silver and the glory. And they looked at this little foundation and they thought, wow, sure isn't the same as what we had. And they were sad. There seemed to be some momentum in the work. They were doing this work. But not everyone was excited about these exiles returning and doing this work, by the way. The people who had lived there for 70 years while the exiles were away, they weren't too thrilled that these folks had come back. 50,000 people had returned with all of their stuff and with the intent of rebuilding their city. And so the folks who were there living in Samaria were not very happy about that. They tried to oppose what they were doing, slow down the progress. It's important for us to note that when people are trying to do God's work, that it's not always going to go smoothly. There will be those who try to oppose that work. So we shouldn't be surprised when opposition arises. Here's what happened now. Because of the opposition, and because of some of the troubles they were having, though, the people who were working on the temple slowed down. Some of them just kind of stopped working. Some of them decided that maybe this was too much trouble. Some of them maybe thought, well, you know, I've got other things I need to do. They got busy with building their own homes. And for 16 years, nothing happened on the building of the temple. In our Sunday school class, we kind of got a picture of what that might have been like, that grass would have been growing through the rocks of the foundation. Children would have seen this as just maybe another ruin, even, from what was before. But finally, the prophet Haggai brought God's word to the people. And through that word, they were encouraged. And they worked as they had been working and finished the temple. That's a good ending to the story, isn't it? So we're talking about worthwhile work today. What was the worthwhile work for these people? It was to be building the temple. It was to be doing God's work. And for us today, worthwhile work is all about doing God's work, what God wants us to be doing. The temple was important to the people, you see. It was the center of Israel's identity. It was the foundation for how they were supposed to worship God according to the laws and how they had directed them. And for 70 years, the people had not been able to worship God in this way. And so the temple was important. It was part of their, really central to their identity. And it also pointed out that God was in their midst. That's what the temple was all about. That's why it was important. And so this was to be the people's first priority when they returned. This was the work that had been assigned to them, ultimately by God. Now, we too have been given work to do, haven't we not? We all know now that we're not saved by works. We're saved by God's grace alone. And so I'm not talking about where our salvation comes from. But we are still to be about God's work. This is why we're here, to carry out the great commission Jesus gave to us, right? To go into all the world and tell people the good news of Jesus, to make disciples, to bring them into the family. We are here to live according to the great commandment of God, to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And as Patty pointed out last week, love is an action verb. It's not a feeling, right? So Jesus, as he comes along, he points out the importance of our actions. Again, faith is important, but our actions show that we have faith. Jesus says that our actions, the things we do, become treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19-20. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and dust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Instead, in verse 20, he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is saying the things you do matter because they are the treasures that we end up with in heaven, or that are sent ahead of us in heaven, right? And it's our actions, as Jesus points out in Matthew 25. It's our actions that show that we are God's people. The sheep and the goats, as Jesus puts it in this story. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, but the goats don't. How do we tell the difference? By the things that they've done. By the way they've treated people. It's their actions that show that they are God's people. That they're sheep, so to speak. Our actions are important. Now our text today in 1 Corinthians points out that our actions that we do, the things that we are about, that some will last through eternity and others will be temporal. Other things won't. Work that is God's work is eternal work. It lasts. It's the treasure in heaven. And everything else is temporal. He puts it this way in verse 13. He says, his works is going to be shown, our works are going to be shown for what they are, because the day, that's the day of the Lord, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Test the quality of each person's work. Now, here's an important thing to recognize, that the things that we do are going to be judged. All will go through the fires of judgment. Now remember, these fires aren't necessarily fires that are punishing fires that we're talking about, but these are purifying fires. These are fires that show the value and the worth of something. And so even the things that we do in the name of our Lord are going to be judged to see if they stand up to the quality. And Paul puts it this way. He says there will be some of these are going to be gold and silver and precious stones. When they go through the fires, they'll just be refined even more. But some of the things we do are going to be more like wood, hay, straw, or stubble. Things that when they go through the fire don't come out the other end. They're gone. They're wiped out. Now the question is, what do we want to spend our energy doing? What do we want to spend our resources on? Do we want to spend our time and energy doing things that are going to fade away? Or do we want to do things that are going to withstand eternity? Work that's truly worthwhile, right? I want you to keep in mind that the returning exiles had every intention of doing God's work. They really did. They got started. They got a good start. But they became distracted. They kind of got off track. The opposition came along and they thought, well, you know what? I don't really want to go to work today with this. Maybe tomorrow. And then, of course, we have the tyranny of the urgent that comes along. I got to fix this pipe in my own house. I got to, the roof's starting to come off. I need to take care of that right away here. And then, of course, day-to-day life. Running the business, caring for the kids, sweeping the porch, washing the dishes, making the bread. These things just kind of happen day by day. And the work that was important work kept getting put off and put off. Why? Because the people maybe just had a hard time getting around to it, right? My dad used to make these, he was a woodworker. He'd make these little discs, and on it he would write T-U-I-T. And he would hand them out, he'd keep them in his pocket. And when someone would come and say, well, you know, Pastor, he was a pastor too, but I have such a hard time getting to things that are I know we're supposed to do, but there's just so many things, I just have a hard time getting around to it. So my dad would pull out one of these discs and hand it to him and say, I shouldn't hear you ever say that you never get around to it. Because I just gave you one. Here, take it. Now you got around to it. We have a hard time getting around to things. And sometimes it's just the busyness of our lives that keeps us from doing what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But sometimes it's other things. Sometimes there are other distractions. You know, the distractions come from both outside and inside. The Samaritans living around the exiled, the returning exiles, they brought distractions in. But the exiles themselves became busy with things that were less important, and those distractions came in too. We get distracted from God's work, sometimes by outside pressures and issues, but also we get distracted from God's work from inside pressures and issues and problems and stresses. We know this. And we need to keep our eye on the goal, as Paul says, so that we are not distracted from what we're supposed to be doing. See, distractions are designed by the enemy to drain us of life, to drain us of energy, to drain us of excitement to do the work. That's what the enemy desires for us. Just like the enemies of Israel did the same thing. The goal of the Samaritans and the enemies of the returned exiles was to discourage, was to stop the work, was to sidetrack and sideline their plans. And when followers of Jesus are doing the work of God, the enemy's not happy. And we'll do whatever's necessary. Use whoever can be used to sap the life and energy and excitement from the workers. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Our text today talks about the things we do, the works for God, gold, silver, precious stones, and the works that are the distractions, the wood, hay, and stubble that we often find ourselves so focused upon. The question is, how do we know if our works are gold, silver, or precious stones? Or how do we know if our works are wood, hay, or stubble, especially if we're all trying to do these things for God, right? Sometimes that can be difficult for us to determine. I'd like you to use this as an idea. Ask yourself, what is it when the day of the Lord comes and we are standing in glory? What is it that we're going to find in heaven? What will we find in heaven? Are we going to find people divided in heaven? People divided by politics or race, language, denomination, lifestyle, biblical interpretation. Are we going to find people divided by those things in heaven? Or are we going to find unity in heaven? That's a pretty easy one for us to answer, don't you think? Of course, we will be united in heaven. So, in that case, how do we determine what is the gold, silver, and precious stones, and what is the wood, hay, and stubble? That's an easy one now, isn't it? As we work towards unity, as we work towards oneness, as we recognize our brothers and sisters around the world who look and act differently than we do, but in Christ we're united. As we work towards those things, we know we're laying up gold, silver, and precious stones, treasures in heaven. But also recognize that as we focus and emphasize the things that might divide us, that that's all wood, hay, and stubble. That's a distraction, folks. Will we find favoritism in heaven? Will we find people who are sorted by importance or by power or by their righteousness or by their gender or by their age? Or will we find equality in heaven? As we stand before God, we will all be equal. No question about it. Equality is what we work towards. That's gold, silver, precious stones. The other stuff, unimportant. It's a distraction. It keeps us from doing the work that God wants us to do. In heaven, will we be standing around judging one another? I don't think so. Will we be accepting each other? Of course we will. We'll be in God's presence, And so, what should we be working towards? What should we be spending our time and our energy on? Judging one another, those who are different than we are, or accepting one another in Jesus Christ? You see, holding grudges, is that something that we'll find in heaven? Of course not. We'll find forgiveness, amazing forgiveness, for we'll all have been forgiven. And so as we focus on forgiveness here in this life, that's the gold, silver, and precious stones. Instead of hoarding wealth and riches, which will not be found in heaven, we see elaborate, selfless giving in the presence of God. That's what we should be working on. That's what we should be spending our energy and our resources upon. Elaborate giving. Selflessness. Will we find war and peace or peace? Will we find hate or love? Will we find pride or humility? All of these things help us to understand what is most important to God. What is God's work? And if we want to be about laying up treasures in heaven, then we need to be about God's work. And these other things, which are going to be burned up, which will be gone in eternity, which will no longer exist in the presence of God. Those other things, that's a distraction for us right now. And we should just avoid it. Just avoid it. When we consider what will survive the fires of judgment, what will exist in God's presence, those are the things that are most worthwhile to work on now, in this life. Everything else is wood, hay, stubble. Everything else is a distraction from the work that God has given us to do, just like the people were distracted from the work that God had given them to do 2,500 years ago. I encourage you to continue to look at Jesus as our example. Jesus constantly did his Father's work, faithful without distraction. And we are called to be like Jesus. That's what being a follower of Jesus is, right? Following in his footsteps, living as Jesus did. After your works have been judged, ask yourself, am I going to have anything left to show? Or is it all going to be burned up because I wasted my time on unimportant things? Or will your Lord have this to say to you? Wow, look what you brought here. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your eternity. Your work has been worthwhile. That's what I want to hear. Let's pray.